Good morning, this is Brent Ciotta filling in for Steve Klein. Thanks for listening. Come out and worship with us this morning at Eastside. We meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. I'd be glad to have you. If you'd like a free Bible study just to talk on the phone about the Word of God, here's my cell number, 256-206-2057. Send me a text, we'll get together. I want to read a quotation. This is from a workbook by Bob and Sandra Waldron. They said, "The Bible is not a series of unconnected once-upon-a-time stories. It is the unfolding of a beautiful, eternal plan God made for the redemption of mankind. All the stories fit together to form one beautiful whole." I want to look at that beautiful, eternal plan of God with you this morning. We'll look from the book of Genesis, the book of Revelation, talk about promises to Abraham, look at a couple of threads in Scripture, a thread of this promised Messiah, and then a thread of Jesus as King. Jesus has a kingdom. We can be a part of it. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave man instructions. He could eat of any tree in the Garden of Eden, except for one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 tells us that sin is a transgression of the law. God gave Adam and Eve a law. They broke it. They ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned. God had told them, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Sin separates man from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 tells us that your sins and your iniquities have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Our sins separate us from God. They separated Adam and Eve from God, and they separate us from God. Our sins do. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned. Adam introduced sin into the world, but we continue, just as Adam, to sin. We choose to disobey God, just as Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. Ezekiel 18 gives us a little bit more of a picture of this separation from God, this dying in sin. The children of Israel had this proverb. They wanted to describe that children would inherit the guilt of their fathers. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I bear the guilt of my sin." Adam bore the guilt of his sin. I don't inherit his sin. Ezekiel goes on to say in his chapter 18, verse 21, "If the wicked will turn from all his sins," then he says, "he shall surely live. He shall not die." How can that be? I won't die physically? No, he's talking about spiritual death. I turn from my sins and I live spiritually. I continue in my sin, I'll die spiritually. Sin separates man from God. Well, Adam and Eve's sin, God had a plan already in place. I want to look at that with you. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, Paul made the statement that death, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. How? That we inherit Adam's sin, the guilt of Adam's sin? He said, "For that all have sinned." That's how death passes to you and I. We sin. Adam sinned. He was separate from God. We sin. We're separated from God. In Ephesians chapter 1, I spoke a moment ago of how that we'll look at a thread of Jesus as Messiah, as Savior, then another thread of Jesus as King. In Ephesians chapter 1, God had this, he says, plan. He predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He chose us before the foundation of the world. God set aside a type of people that he was going to save. By the blood of Christ, he says in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He was going to adopt some children to himself, those that would trust and obey him. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 11, before we read that verse, Paul describes that God wanted to show his wisdom, to display his wisdom to principalities and powers in heavenly places. He would make known by the church his wisdom, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God had an eternal purpose. When Adam and Eve sinned, God's eternal purpose was already planned it out. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, and he says that you were not redeemed by silver and gold. We weren't set free from our sins by silver and gold, as we've seen in Ephesians 1, that we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Peter says that also. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God had a plan in place already when Adam and Eve sinned. Someone may think that, well, wouldn't that mean that God played a part in their sin, that he was guilty of their sin? Was he making them do that? Did he, if he knew that they would sin, did God contribute to that? Is he responsible? No, there's a difference between God causing something to happen, like when he said, let there be light. God can make something happen, but he can also know ahead of time that it will happen. That's the way it was with Adam and Eve's sin. He knew man has free will. He knew man would sin. He came up with an eternal plan to save man. I mentioned earlier the promises to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to leave his land, go to a land that he would show him. This was going to be a land that God would give him and his descendants. I'll make of thee a great nation, verse 2. Verse 3, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God explains that a little further in Genesis 22, verse 18. When Abraham offered his son Isaac, effectively, on that altar, God stopped him. He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Interesting the way he puts that, isn't it? Because you obeyed me, Abraham, in your seed, everyone's going to be blessed. We know that seed and who that is, right? In Galatians 3, Paul describes that as the Christ. Here's this promised seed, the Messiah, who would come from the lineage of Abraham. In Deuteronomy 18, in verse 15, the lawgiver Moses said to the people of Israel, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like to me, unto him you shall hearken. There's going to be someone coming, Israel, you need to listen to. And Peter took off on that in Acts chapter 3. As he was talking to the Israel of his day, he said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. He goes on to say in verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And then down in verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. God's sending Jesus to bless you, Israel. You've got to listen to him. He's the one that was foretold through Abraham that in his seed, he was that seed that was going to bless all nations. You've got to believe the Christ. In Matthew, an angel came to Joseph. Joseph was espoused to Mary. And the angel said this. He said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Remember that phrase, God with us. That's who Jesus was, God with man. The angel told Joseph, Mary's going to have a son. He'll be named Jesus. He is God with us. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said in verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You remember 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, where Peter said, spoke of the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Peter said Jesus was that precious lamb. John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The angels who spoke to Joseph said, you'll call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. So with his own blood, he would save man. In Revelation 13, there's a picture there. There's a beast that rises up out of the sea, and people are worshiping that beast. The people, that is, who did not have their names written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Interesting picture, isn't it? Jesus, a Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Goes along with those other verses we've been looking at, that God had this eternal purpose in Christ. He foreordained some things before the foundation of the world. He planned to have Christ die for man. We've seen Jesus as Savior through the lineage of Abraham. Let's look now at Jesus as King through the lineage of Abraham. In Genesis 49, there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons. One son was Judah. At this time in Genesis 49, Jacob is blessing his sons, and he says this to Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Jacob says to Judah, the scepter will not depart from you, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. There was going to come rule and reign from Judah, from Abraham, from his lineage. In Genesis 15, God had told Abraham that his descendants would be a stranger in a land that was not theirs, would serve them. They would afflict his people for 400 years. Then God said, that nation whom they serve, I'll judge them. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Abraham, your descendants are going to be slaves in this land. They'll leave, though. We know that land to be Egypt. In Genesis chapter 50, and backing up, when Jacob was blessing his sons, that was in Egypt. Jacob had come to live with, they were coming to live there in Egypt. Joseph was in Egypt. And in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph said to his brothers, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Just as Abraham, God told Abraham, your descendants will be taken out of that land that afflicts them. God will surely visit you, bring you out of this land unto a land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Jacob and Joseph told his brethren, you'll take my bones that are buried, I'm about to die, and you'll take those to the land of promise. Well, there arose a Pharaoh later on that didn't know Joseph and afflicted the people of Israel. They cried out to God, and God raised the deliverer Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. They were headed toward the land of Canaan. They sent spies into the land. Israel showed their lack of trust in God. They didn't believe that God was really going to help them take that land. God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua led them into the land of Canaan. The people of the land afflicted them because Israel had not fully obeyed God. They afflicted them. They cried out to God, and God would raise up judges over and over to deliver Israel. During the days of the judges in the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter 4, the people of Israel were blessing this man Boaz. Boaz was about to marry Ruth. And they said, "Let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah." So notice that this lineage is from Judah, Boaz is. And let's look at that lineage at the end of chapter 4. It's important to the point that I'm making about Jesus as the promised king. It says in verse 18, "Now these are the generations of Perez," remember, that came from Judah. "Perez begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Amminadab, Amminadab begat Nashon, Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." David was through the lineage of Judah, through the lineage of Abraham. What was that in Genesis 49 that Jacob told Judah? "The scepter will not depart from you, Judah. There's going to come reign and rule through you." In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the prophet said to David, he said this in verse 16, 2 Samuel 7, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, David." David was a king, came through the lineage of Judah from Abraham. The scepter would not depart from Judah. David, your kingdom is going to be established forever. Thy throne shall be established forever. In Isaiah chapter 9, notice this. In Isaiah chapter 9, he refers to this one that would take this throne of David and reign forever. It's called the Mighty God, Isaiah 9 verse 6. The Mighty God. Remember that what the angel said to Joseph? He'll be called Emmanuel, God with us. So here's the Mighty God. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever." The Mighty God was coming to sit on the throne of David and reign forever. Isaiah goes on to say, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God had an eternal plan. He foreordained some things before the world began, before Adam sinned, and he was bringing it about to pass. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's trust God. We can trust God. We see in the scripture that he fulfills his promises. Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. Angel came to Joseph. An angel comes to Mary. He says, "Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." So here's the Son of God, the Mighty God. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." We keep saying that in these passages, don't we? The scepter is not going to depart from Judah. There's going to be this one that is raised up of Israel's brethren that they've got to listen to. He's going to be on the throne of David. He'll save the people from his sins. He's going to reign forever. The angel Gabriel is telling Mary, that's Jesus. He's the one that's going to sit on the throne of David. He's the one that's going to reign forever. Jesus, in his day, while he was walking on the earth, telling people about the coming kingdom, telling people he was a king, like Pilate. He agreed with Pilate. "Are you a king then?" But he said, "My kingdom's not of this world." That's why his citizens don't fight to deliver him from his enemies. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, he said, "There be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." People are living right then and there, Jesus said, who will see the kingdom of God come. In Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the brethren, the Christians at the church at Colossae, said to them that God had translated them into the kingdom of his dear Son, delivered them from the power of darkness, got them out of Satan's camp, put them into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They were in the kingdom that Jesus said came, was coming in his day. We can be a part of God's kingdom. We can go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, talking about the end of time, when the Lord comes again, he'll destroy death, that'll be the last enemy. He says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Jesus is coming back to take his people home, going to deliver that king, give it over to God, and then forever we'll be with the Lord. I mentioned we'd look at the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, there's an allusion here to something that we remember back from the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden. God placed a cherubim there around the tree of life so that they couldn't take of that tree and live forever. Revelation 22 mentions that tree of life. John says, blessed are they that do his commandments. We've got to trust and obey God, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those are the ones who trust him, obey him, keep his commandments. They're the ones that he'll deliver up to God in the end. They'll have right to the tree of life. What have we seen this morning? Number one, before creation, God had a plan to save man from his sins. Remember back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we weren't saved with money, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Time wasn't going to hinder God's plan. Time doesn't affect God. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day, 2 Peter 3 says. Time doesn't affect God. It would reveal his plan. It would show his wisdom as time went on. Thirdly, we can trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We've got to trust God. We have reason to trust God, don't we? God made promises to Abraham. God made promises to David. He brought those promises to pass. Jesus is that Savior that God promised. Jesus is that King that God promised. Whatever God says, we may look at something in God's Word, and we may begin to doubt. But we can see God's track record of how that he was just blasting through time. Any obstacle you might think that Satan or the world could throw at him, he was still just steadily bringing about his objective, bringing about his plan, showing his wisdom, getting it done. Whatever God tells you and I to do, whatever he promises us, it'll come to pass. We don't need to ever doubt God. We can trust God. If you'd like to have that free Bible study, give me a call, 256-206-2057. If you'd like to come out and study with us, we're going through the book of Genesis in our Bible studies at Eastside. Come out and be with us. Study the Word of God. Stay on that way that leads to life. Thank you for listening.